Let us pray. Lord, we are looking with anticipation to the coming of Christ. But there are days that we have doubts. But may we, in everything that we do, no matter what we face, may we never lose hope. Amen. Many years ago, June and I made plans to go to Washington, D.C. over the Thanksgiving holidays. We had been looking forward to trying to do something a little different, and so we made plans. I called a customer of mine and who worked for the Park Service and asked him if he could give me some help, and he called me a week or so later, and he said, I got a tour for you. You can take on Friday after Thanksgiving. I said, great. Well, I had Friday taken care of, and so I'd call our senator's offices and our House of Representatives' offices to try to get tickets for the White House on Saturday, and couldn't get them. So I called a lady at the Department of Interior who was helping me with the tour, and I said, is there any way you can get us to the White House? And she said, let me see. And a couple of days later, she called and said, we got it worked out. You can go on Saturday morning. And we were all excited. We were ready to go. And so we made the trek from Thompson to Washington, D.C. On Friday morning, we find our way to the Department of Interior. We get there. We're directed out to a van. And in the van is a young student from Spain who was studying in New York City. And he was in the back of the van. And in the front of the van was a lady who was older than we were, and her daughter and a granddaughter. It just so happened she was Jean Luan, who was the wife of the Secretary of the Interior. We introduced ourselves, and as the van is pulling off, she turns around and said, now, who are you? As if, what do you do or what do you have that allows you to ride with me on this bus, this van? Are you somebody special? And my response was, we're nobody. We just happen to know somebody. And so we behaved enough to not get thrown out of the van. We were good people. And that's the way that I felt a little odd that she would ask that question. I felt like maybe she thought she was better than us. Well, the next day, we make our way to the ranger station behind on the ellipse side of the White House, and we're directed up to the gate where all those who are going to take the tour end up. And we find our way, and we find the park ranger. He sits us on a bench, and he tells us, now, when the last person goes and passes you, just get in behind them, and you'll get to go in. So sure enough, when they started walking in, and the last one passed us, we got in right behind them, and we got to the gate. And the Secret Service agent said, where's your letter? I said, I don't have the letter, and about this time, the park ranger walks up and said, they're with us. And the Secret Service agent steps back and says, welcome to the White House. And I thought for a moment over those years since then, I thought, one day we're, who are you? And the next day we're, welcome to the White House. What a difference a day makes in our lives. In our scripture that Jackie read today is from Luke 1, 26 through 38. It's the Annunciation of Mary, where Gabriel tells her what she is getting ready to experience. He tells her that she is highly, highly favored, that the Lord is with you, and that troubles her. And then he keeps talking, but he says, don't be afraid. You will conceive a son, and he's going to be the Son of the Most High. And then she says, well, how will this be? And he tells her about the Holy Spirit. And then she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. An interesting, interesting response. It's interesting about this response and this encounter that Mary has with Gabriel. It's interesting in that if God was sending Gabriel to the most favored one in Israel, You would think that he would send her to the seat of power, both religious power, political power, economic power. Apparently, Gabriel made a wrong turn, because he didn't go to Jerusalem, where all those powers sat. In fact, the farther you get away from Jerusalem, the less power you have, the less Jewish you become. In fact, when you go north from Jerusalem up to the Sea of Galilee, and Galilee and Nazareth to the west of the Sea of Galilee, they call that Galilee of the Gentiles. In fact, you become nothing. The power, you're an eternity from the power of society. But that's where Gabriel goes, to tell the most unlikely, you're highly favored. You're highly favored of God. Nazareth, a know-nothing town, in the land of the Gentiles. In fact, it's so unknown and so had such a reputation that when Philip goes to speak to Nathanael about Jesus, he prefaces all of what he says about Jesus by saying, remember what Moses said. Remember what the prophets said. Well, I need you to meet Jesus of Nazareth. And even though he prefaced everything he said, all the stuff he said before he used the word Nazareth, that's all that Nathanael could remember. And all that he could say in response was, can anything good come out of Nazareth? What a difference a day makes. When Mary hears the word, you are highly favored. You are highly favored. It's interesting. The seat of power. What everybody would typically think, where God would go, Jerusalem, is not where he went. It makes me remember or think of Isaiah 55:8, where God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my words are not your words. For what's up with us is down for God, and what's down for God is up for us. It's very interesting that way. And it's still the same today as it was in the days of Isaiah, 700 years or 600 years before the birth of Christ. It was just that way when Abraham lived, when Jesus lived, and when we live. For Nazareth there lived a virgin, a lowly virgin, a nobody by the standards of the day of the world, but she was highly favored. And when Gabriel spoke to her, I didn't hear any options. Did you? I didn't hear any options about, well, you're highly favored if you want to be. If you choose to accept this, you can be highly favored. That wasn't what she said. But after she hears it, after the shock, I'm sure, she hoped that it would be true. I began to think about hope and faith. Are they the same? How do they interact together? We know from Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In 1 Corinthians 12, we hear language and words about spiritual gifts. And at the very last verse, the 31st verse, we read these words. But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The 13th chapter begins, and those 13 verses are from 1 Corinthians. It's that chapter on love. Love is patient. Love is kind. We hear those words. And then it finishes with the 13th verse. And now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. And the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love are the greater gifts. Well, what is faith? I know what we said. I know what Hebrews says. But the faith that we're talking about has basically three components to it. First, there is an intellectual awareness of something, and then there is an intellectual assent that you trust the idea, you believe it, or the data, you believe it. And the third one is that component is that you put your entire trust in it. So if we think about Jesus Christ, we would get to the place where we might have heard the story of Jesus about his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. You hear those words and you believe it. And then as you learn more and more that this is a story that happened over 2,000 years ago and people have put their faith in it, and your knowledge ascends to the point where you put your trust, all your trust, into that, and that is a faith, a saving faith. And that's where we start. But on the other hand, hope is confident expectation, which naturally comes from faith. Hope is a peaceful assurance that something that has not happened yet will happen indeed. And so when we think about our faith that we have in Jesus Christ, to the fact that we trust our lives to that truth, hope is that eternal life. Hope is that abiding presence, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. It's those things, the promises of God, that we have hope and know that they will happen. But for Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary in the video, they're changed by hope that the Good Shepherd would carry them through. I believe Mary had heard. She had believed and trusted her life to Gabriel's message, which birthed faith. And that faith allowed her to say the words, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." But then hope blossomed something else. The Magnificat, the song that she sang. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Faith and hope come together. Faith is grounded in the reality of the past. Hope looks to the reality of the future. Without faith, there is no hope, and without hope, there is no true faith. Mary was both a person of faith and of hope. I pray that we too can be a people of faith and hope as we allow the Good Shepherd to carry us too. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the hope and the faith of Mary. A hope that inspires us, a hope in the Good Shepherd who carries us. In the name of Christ we pray, amen.